Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord, you can correct me. Say, let me never get to a point where your word cannot instruct me, where your word no longer pierces my heart and confronts inconsistencies. Prove me, Lord. Search me by your word. Correct me. Listen to me. If you ever get to a point where you're no longer being corrected, where that nagging voice, that internal spiritual indicator is now silent, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. So you must deliberately bring yourself under the scrutiny and the instruction of the Word of God. Deliberately. I've told you before, that's what retreats are for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lie on the floor sometimes. Let the Word of God x-ray you. That's how to be preserved in purpose. Now, the theme for this month is salt. And this one is very big because it's a burden that I've carried. You know, I had the opportunity to see one of the senior people in the body of Christ. And I said, I have a question. It seems like something is wrong with our curriculum. Something is wrong with our curriculum. I've seen quite a number of people who are coming to church regularly and are not changing. They are not improving. We cannot continue like this. And the person said, you are right. You are right. And that's why this teaching theme is very important, because the moment you have decided to be a part of this church, it won't be business as usual. You must serve God sincerely. Listen. That's not to say that there won't be a process of growth in your life. But at the same time, when we look at your devotion, we must see sincerity. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And that's very important to God, and it must be important to you. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the first part of this text is so inspirational, so inspiring. But the second part is a warning. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And we spent all of last week talking about this. It says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, that's a sermon on its own. If what is supposed to season others needs seasoning, how shall it be seasoned? It reminds me of something I saw sometime in 2011, thereabout. It was quite a sight. I saw a towing van park up and needed to be towed. It was quite a sight. And it seems like a spiritual parable. You who ought to be strengthening others by now, teaching others by now, you are the one who needs support. Your devotional life is on life support. Your prayer life is struggling. It says, if salt loses its savor, how shall it then be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You know what he's telling you? He's telling you that salt without its seasoning power is not different from sand. It's white sand. The moment it can no longer season, the moment it has lost its power for preservation, the moment it has lost its potency to change its environment, to change the taste of the pot, It is white sand. Put it on the floor. Let people step on it. It's sand. Without its taste, it's sand. Are you getting the gravity of this? Picture that. Think of salt, what it looks like. Again, apart from its taste, its flavor, how is it different from sand? In fact, sand is better because it can withstand water better. So now we're saying, if we have this stuff in the kitchen in great quantity, but we discover it no longer has seasoning capacity and potentiality, then what is the next best use? We put it on the pavement outside. This is serious. And now what is supposed to preserve has now become a carpet. He's telling you lose your saltiness when you become identical to what you're supposed to preserve. When you become identical to what you're supposed to correct, you have lost your salt. When in your office, you lie like everyone else, steal like everyone else. You know, one of the honest people in politics was telling me there was an opportunity to cut corners. And he told them, you know, I can't do this. He stood his ground. And the person they sent to him to persuade him to compromise was a pastor. And the pastor is telling you, you are doing this Jesus thing too much. I'm a pastor too, you know. See, problem deal. You know, I had a meeting recently. And the man was telling me how paranoid his wife has become when it comes to church and things like to preserve the sincerity of her faith. She doesn't get too deep in church because she just imagine the contradiction that she thinks that there will be things she will see that will grieve her spirits and will almost point her towards apostasy. So she just stays, would prefer to just, you get. So what happened? Now, there was this fellowship that looked so promising. She decided, you know what? I can make an exception here. So she started getting involved. And one of the things she does is interior decoration. And so the owner of the fellowship had a massive property somewhere. And they gave her the contract. She did the proper estimation, gave them the bill. Now, the number two in the fellowship came to our house and said, this is the bill we want you to submit. And it was almost times two, the normal bill. So she said, I cannot do that. I'm a Christian. And I plan to go to heaven. You know what the number two in the fellowship said? Oh, wait for it. The vice president of the fellowship said, you want to go to heaven? In that fellowship, none of us are going to heaven. Said, none of us are going to heaven. If heaven is the goal, what are you doing here? No, in essence, before you say, what the person, you see, sometimes sinners are more honest. The person is like, oh, this is your definition of making heaven, that you don't hike prices. We all do it here. That's what she was saying. You see, that one is more relatable to some people. The hours reduced now. That's what she was saying. That if this is your standard for making heaven, now all of us here, they do, by this, nobody is going to heaven in this. Just imagine that. Just imagine somebody who just joined the fellowship just months ago, that's a very high-ranking leader, is telling you, we know the goal. Heaven is not the goal here. You steal, you lie, you do everything. They can't trust you with money. They can't borrow you and you pay back. You just lack integrity. And so the word of the Lord to you is this. If you are a believer, there must be evidence. There must be evidence. And I'm not just saying evidence on Sunday, evidence on Monday. I'm glad you're here praying, worshiping sincerely, maybe even shed a tear. But did you pray yesterday? And will you pray tomorrow? Now, that's what we're talking about. Is there anybody in your office that will see church pictures and see your face and say, ah? She looks serious. What's going on? Is that the reason you dodge photography? Or you just like your privacy? Which one? What is it that people will see you doing in church that is not already normative in your life? Or what is it? So this is a serious, listen, when you hear the word of God like this, let it set you. Let it seep into your heart. Personalize it. Before you relate it to somebody that really needs this word, there's a reason it's coming at you like this. Think deeply and personally about this. And there's a text that highlights what we're saying here. It's Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Or Philemon verse 6, since it has just one chapter. Philemon verse 6. And this is what it says. Popular text in Pentecostal circles. It says that the sharing, the Greek word is koinonia. Have you heard that Greek word before? It says that the koinonia of your faith may become effective. Maybe we need to pause there. It says your partnership, your fellowship in the faith, it ought to show. It must become effective. Let me explain what koinonia is. For those of you who have had the privilege of being out of the country, sometimes you know how lonely it can feel. Everything is weird. You are tasting all the food and it's just bland. And you're just like, ah, pepe. Where is Pepe? Everything looks weird. The breakfast looks like Holy Communion. Where is Amala? Where is Begiri? Oh my God. You know? And then you are straining to hear what everyone is saying and all of that. Now, imagine in all of that loneliness, you're walking on the road and you just hear someone on the phone speaking Konk Yoruba.
Yummy. Ah!
You know? Some of you know what I'm saying. Have people walked up to you and say, sorry, are you from Nigeria? When you say yes, you see their excitement. How are you doing? Now, both of you instantly begin to talk as if you've known each other. That's what koinonia is. Because you discover that you have something in common with someone, particularly in a strange land. So if indeed you are not from here, you are from heaven, you have the Holy Ghost. Listen, you must have that experience. Come on, I get what I'm saying. There is koinonia in the spirit. I'll never forget this. When I was going for National Youth Service Corps, I mean, it was a weird experience, you know, and all of that. Change of environment. Everyone is a stranger. You are now trying to assess everyone to know who should be your guy, who should not be your guy, and all of that. So psychologically, we do that sorting anywhere we're in a place and we're meeting people. If you've read the book of Philemon, you know what's happening here. Because Philemon had somebody working with him named Onesimus. And Onesimus used to be a slave. Now, Onesimus left Philemon, and what historians agree is that they didn't live in good terms. They parted ways, you know, it was a funny situation. Now, Paul is in prison. He's caring for Onesimus. Nobody to look out for him. And guess who Paul wants to accept Onesimus back? Philemon. And Paul is saying, it shouldn't be hard for you to do. Esprit de corps is what we do. We forgive. In this kingdom, the Onesimus you used to know is not the same Onesimus anymore. He's born again. He's full of the Spirit. So you cannot claim to be a believer and still not forgive. So in this regard of forgiveness, let the communication of your faith be evident. Give me something to acknowledge right now. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So, you know, that brings me to another point. It means if you belong to the kingdom, we should be able to hold you accountable to the standards of your confession. And this is one thing that pisses me off in marriage counseling. It pisses me off. What do you both think you are doing? First and foremost, you must forgive. You didn't read the terms and conditions. Are you not a believer? You must forgive. That goes without saying. Don't waste my time. Counseling will not waste too much time when we have this base foundation. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? If the two people are not first submitted to Christ and striving to be obedient to the word of God, it then becomes hard. That kind of accountability is very important. If we cannot hold you accountable, you are not one of us. That's the Bible standard. And that's why I said, if someone hurt you, Jesus taught this. Go and tell him. If he listens, you've gained a brother. If he does not listen, you know what you're going to do? Take two witnesses. Talk to him. If he still doesn't listen, tell it to the church. If he still doesn't listen, treat him like an infidel. Because a person that we cannot hold accountable to our standard of koinonia. Oh, we thought you are like us. We thought it should go without saying that you ought to forgive. We thought it should go without saying that when we get involved in this marriage conflict and tell you, you didn't speak to your wife well, you didn't honor your husband well, we thought, immediately there should be acknowledgement of guilt and repentance. And if we don't see that, there are grave implications here. You cannot stay here and do the way you like. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Do you see the gravity of this? And this is really church membership. Real church membership. We see you messing up on the internet. We call you aside and say, ah, bro, was your phone hacked? And you're angry that we called you. You're angry. Then what do you think this is about? Apply this to your life, oh. The communication of my faith must be effectual. Some of you, it must become. Some of you, it must continue to be. Are you listening to me? Say the communication of my faith must be effectual. Permit me to use this interpretation. And so say this with me. Everyone around me will acknowledge every good thing in me in Christ. Say, my walk with God is not a secret. I'm serving the Lord openly. I'm not in secret service. Hallelujah. It's important. It's a big deal. Especially for those of us who have been in church for long, you can get so used to the things of God that the things that used to hurt you before don't hurt you anymore. I know how hard it is to do things by the book, in a country like this. But when you come to a point where the moment police just stops you, you just stretch out money. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, everybody's doing it. You're not everybody. Please, are you listening to this? This is serious. You've gotten so used to it. It no longer bothers you. You just bribe with your full chest, cut corners with your full chest. And mix everything with Jesus. There's a text that changed my life. This was sometime around 2010. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. No one ever really preached it to me that way. So when I saw it, it changed my life. And it also speaks to the argument about faith and works and grace and all of that. Look at James chapter 2, verse 19. If this one no chook you, eh? Chook is not a word. If he no pierce you. Everybody, read this loud as you can want to go. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Oh, you think that the totality of your conviction is tied just to your belief? That's not unique. In the spirit realm, there is no unbeliever. Everybody knows there's a God. Demons know and tremble. So what is your difference? And don't forget, in case you don't know, this is a flow of thought from the previous verse that says faith without works is dead. He's telling you the importance of evidence to your Christian conviction. Oh, you believe there's a God? Well done. In fact, it seems like pidgin language. He said, you do well. Believer. If the totality of your Christian experience is just belief in God, you are not different from demons in that regard. Not only do they believe, they tremble. That's the reason the name of Jesus works. They tremble at the name because they believe. So want more in your life. It's true that faith is the only requirement for salvation. But any faith that does not have evidence is fake. Make no mistake, it's fake. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? If a friend told you he has an iPhone and he sent you a message and it's color green. Some of you don't get the joke, you don't. Because every product has qualities. So if you are a child of God, that's what the Bible was saying when it says the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit's influence is. If you are always angry, something is wrong. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying here? Time is fast spent and I still have a lot to share with you. And so on this belief matter, there's something we miss every time. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Just so you understand what belief is, let me tell you something. You cannot truly believe that it's going to rain cats and dogs today and you left your house without an umbrella. Are you getting what I'm saying? The proof of belief is corresponding action. Corresponding action. If you were storing up dollars in the safe of your house and you truly believe that the rate is going to drop to 500 to 1 naira tomorrow, what are you going to do today? And so if tomorrow comes, you didn't do anything with your thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, and you are telling somebody that you knew the price would change, what's the person going to think? You're lying. Because if you believed, there will be corresponding action. So the thing is, we have reduced the context of believing to something superficial, nice, romantic, cute. Oh, Jesus is so sweet. Goosebumps. You don't understand. He died for you. He died a gruesome death. That is what you ought to believe. Just imagine you were walking on the road with your headset. You didn't know a vehicle was coming and everybody was trying to call out to you. You didn't hear. So somebody in a moment of bravery just sprinted towards you and then he just hit you out of the road and in the process he died and you saw that happen. Will your life ever be the same again? If that person had a child, what are you going to do to that child? You adopt the child instantly. Imagine someone claiming to be a believer. I believe. You leave the child there. And once in a while, you remember the incidents and cry. You know? Or maybe when they play worship. You know, that's the totality of some people's Christian experience. So Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, it's the Lordship you confess. Not just the friend. You know, some of you, even the names you call God all the time, we're coming to that another time. Some of you, all the names you call God are from Songs of Solomon. Just sweet, sweet things. Lily of the Valley. Rose of Sharon. I'm not judging you. Do I look like I'm judging you? Well, There should be more. He's Lord. A generation that argues simple things in the word of God does not know this. He's Lord. Have you seen simple, well-established truths in the Bible causing argument online? He's Lord. He's boss. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, my God. The day you see him, your knees will buckle. You know when it says every knee shall bow, you think it's only demons? He said every. He said of things in heaven and of things on the earth and of things under. Some of you just think it is the things under. He says every knee. The same John that in the incarnation will put his hand, his head on Jesus' bosom and just be chilling as guys. When he saw him in the book of Revelation, the Bible says he fell as dead. That's the person you want to be bringing your own opinion in relationship to. You don't know who you're talking about. Just angel, Larson. Just angel. Let me tell you something. Not here. There are some angels that if they want to visit you, you need time to prepare. You need to prepare your heart. I can't say more than that. The fear can consume you. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about the kind of encounters people say that you have an encounter and you're talking about it the next day. It's just, Baba, you ate a bar. You just open your mouth. You tweet about it. So the reason why this is a burden for me, you know what the Bible says? It says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It says, righteousness exalts a nation. Any nation that is not better by the aggregate of the Christians there, something is wrong with the curriculum. If in this same government we are complaining about, we can point to a number of Christians there that lie like the rest and steal like the rest, we have a problem. So it tells you the results of righteousness. So any nation, listen, I'm not saying that anywhere there are believers, the country will just begin to have prosperity. It wasn't true even in the Bible days. What I'm saying is this. If you don't at least see an upgrade in integrity, in gravity, come on, are you getting what I'm saying? In social impact, something is wrong. And the reason we're not seeing that is because in all our ingredients, in our church curriculum, there seems to be something missing. It's called the fear of God. Come on, are you listening to me? When you are talking about the ways where, or the ways in which the church can positively impact a nation, it should be the fear of God. Please, are you listening to me? Because when it comes to the inconsistency of many professing Christians not having much to show. It's the fear of God that is missing. Let me show you a text that you know very well. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So you see, is what I'm talking about. He's talking about integrity, right? What does he say next? He says, walk out. He didn't say walk for. He's not telling you that salvation is earned by works. But he's saying that if the salvation that you have inside, the transformation, the legitimate transformation by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he says, if that's really in you, let it show, let it be evident. Let there be an outworking, an overflow of salvation. Walk out your salvation. How? Listen, without the fear of God, without trembling, there will be no incentive for that. I'm pained though. And there are just so many things I can't say. I will speak in parables. There was something this church wanted to buy. It was going to cost a lot of money. A lot of your money. And the people who were going to sell it to us were pastors. So I felt, no problem with that. And then I'm in my bed praying in the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord, specific word of knowledge. The Lord said, call so and so man of God and ask him about that thing. So when I called him, I said, we're trying to buy this thing. And then the Holy Ghost said, I should call you. He started laughing. He said, I know why the Holy Ghost said you should ask me. If I say what I'm about to say next, those of you who understand financial terms, I will tell you. It's a property we wanted to buy. So he said, just ask them this question. Is there a lien on this property? Just ask them. So when I told the team, ask them, is there a lien on this property? You are here. I know you don't want me to drag you into this. Is there a lien on this property? We sent them the email. We just want to ask, out of curiosity, is there a lien on this property? They refused to reply by email. They called and they said, there's no lien. Red flag. So we now had to do our investigation and discover there was a lien. A group of pastors almost scammed this church. You know? Now God save body of Christ, because Shebi, they already say I talk a lot. I will buy ring lights every day. I won't. Just imagine having to stand there to tell you, that money you gave, reboot camp. So, now, let me balance this. Thank God I reached out to somebody who was close to the man of God, because I believe he's a man of integrity. So I said, please help me ask him directly, is there a lien on that property? And he said, yes, there is. So thank God. So and now I know that it is the agents of darkness. Is the agents... So how will this country change? How will this country see? If you want to test integrity of Nigerians, try to buy property. There's nothing we didn't see. I said we were almost scammed like 6 or 7 times. It's just the God of CCI that kept saving us. You know, there was one place, fantastic location, fantastic. I was, oh my God, fantastic. More prime than this. We had already gone far. It was remaining payments for the God of CCI. See, I can't see, you know? So our CEO was just talking on the phone to somebody, one of us on our team, now mentioned the surname. Her mother now said, I know that name. We grew up together. Called and said, where do you want to sell property to our church? Our church will give them good price. Say, sell to who? We are not aware. Now, that's number one. Now, imagine this. They now wrote us a note. Please be informed. We don't know about this property. The person who is selling, trying to sell it to you, is a rogue member of this family. He now put his name and put S-A-N. Eternal Rock of Ages. The owner and her son. Eternal Rock of it. Merciful God. Well, just imagine your pastor, they go court, they hear, I put it to you. I put it. Don't put it to me, sir. See, last year alone, I can tell you story upon story upon story. There's a pastor in this country. We had to arrest. Oh, yes. Last year. Yes. Because if it's my money, I will let it go. If it's church money. So, you know, I want to make a very stupid joke. Will you forgive me? Even me, I know they chop on. Even me, I did discipline myself. Now, outsider, one chop on. Azal now. I mean, of course, after we got an agreement, we let him go. But for God's sake, for God's sake. Similar thing. He forged signatures. Oh, yes. Got 2 different agreements. So the price he was giving us was hiked times 4. Oh, yes. Yeah, you see what I'm saying now? So what we signed and what the owner signed, 2 different. But you see, a lot of people, because we have LED screen and lights, they don't know the kind of backing this ministry has. It must cast. It must cast. So there was some drama. when we were trying to get the property, they promised us, okay, one shop that was there, since there was nobody on the land, was going to leave. So now we had gotten the place, the shop is not leaving. So we had to write, you promised us that this. And we knew that this might happen. So we put in as the condition that if after 6 months he has not left, you will give us our money back. So we're writing to requests for so-and-so refund. The landlord says, so-and-so has out. That's when we knew the real amount. You get what I'm saying? Now, let me just beg you. You don't dare have the nerve to complain about people ruining this country when you are acting like you are rehearsing to be worse. How dare you? Like, and there is money in legitimate business. There's money in legitimate business. So it takes a special kind of greed. You just always want more. What is wrong with us? And like I said, I'm talking about churchgoers. I'm upset. Now, let me tell you something. Of all the names of God, let me give you another name of God so that you, at least it's not Rose of Sharon every day. Genesis chapter 31, verses 42. We'll read verse 42 and verse 53. Jacob is about to talk about what preserved him from the wickedness of Laban. He says, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. He's not talking about being afraid of Isaac. He's calling God Isaac's fear. Don't just call him my daddy. Don't just call him my love. He's my fear. Listen, this is the opinion I truly care about, that I will stand before him at the end of my life. That's my fear. That's my reverence. Are you getting what I'm saying? Put your name there. Say, Eren's fear. He said, if not for the fear of Isaac that had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. Look at verse 53. Verse 53. It says, the God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his what? He's my fear. Listen, and some of you are wondering, okay, how do you now balance the fact that the Bible says perfect love casts out fear? You just need to understand that words have different nuances. And so the fear that is being referred to there is the constant scare for punishment and all of that. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on, I get what I'm saying. So the basis of our relationship is not the constant fear of punishment, but there must be constant reverence. Do you understand the difference? In fact, it is the fear of God that delivers us from every other fear. It is the fear of God that delivers us from every other fear. You know, because Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I'm quoting from my heart because of time. It says, do not fear those who can only destroy the body. Fear him. Now, by the way, this should challenge you, whatever your doctrine is on fear. If Jesus is saying you should fear God, maybe you are deeper than Jesus. Jesus said, fear. You not say. He says, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear. It's important. The book of Isaiah talks about the seven spirits of God. Media team can bring it up for me. You know, and another issue many of us have is that we are selective when it comes to the dimensions of God that we revere. But one of the seven spirits of God is the fear of God. Come on, are you listening to me? It's the fear of God. It's the fear of God. You know, I understand weakness. I understand maybe you know, human imperfection. But there are just some things that people do, Christians do, that you take audacity. You want to rip church. I understand, for instance, marriage is hard. But there are some things people do. You know, there's somebody I heard of. Okay, they had a quarrel. He was very angry with his wife. So to punish her, he went out to cheat. He told her he was going out to cheat as punishment. You know? That's. He said, you will see what I will do now. You hear what I'm saying? Because maybe you think, let me tell you something. Let me just advise you. Don't constantly take advantage of people and expect to get away with it. You know, what I'm saying shows up in different contexts. I saw a woman beat her son, her toddler, and it broke my heart. I said, children that people are praying for. And let me tell you something. There are just some things you do and you are in trouble because God likes to defend the vulnerable. As a parent, you are the caregiver of a child. If you are beating the child constantly, the child has no help. From a logical standpoint, or that's what you think. That's what you think. That's what you think. You have a partner at home that you punch in the eye from time to time. Beat up. Harass. I see the way some people do, you know, just treat people anyhow. Lock your partner up in the house. You will not come out today. You know. Some things are not a knowledge problem. It's a fear problem. Were you not afraid? Were you not afraid? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Like this is the totality of human expectation and divine devotion. It says, fear God. And if you don't fear God, we fear you. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the duty of man. It's the duty of man. This is the duty of man. You know, I was touching something last week. I want to come back to it. When you wanted to borrow money, you begged, you cried, you pestered, you called. There was never a time that your line was not going through. Now you've borrowed it. First and foremost, it is that ungodly idea of borrowing money and using it for something else. Why are you in Dubai? Why are you in Dubai? Why are you in Dubai? What are you? Is this what you said you wanted to do? You borrowed money and you changed your car. How? Why? You are now making the person that loaned you the money to be calculating on your behalf that maybe there is some other mathematics I'm not getting. Then it is time to pay back. First and foremost, to borrow any amount that you knew will not be easy to pay back. That's why. What is going on? Then they are calling you. You are not picking. Or when you pick, you are angry. What is itself? Really? What is itself? Really? And we spiritualize the wickedness. You come to church, you are praying for supernatural death cancellation. You are a thief. They will do it for you. Do you know that? Listen to me. Do you know that? You know, so now, you stall for so long, and the person, for peace sake, says, you know what? Forget it. Then you think that's supernatural death cancellation. You have spiritualized your wickedness. You have given it a religious nomenclature. That's what you've done. And people who do this, they are usually so short-sighted. Because, let me tell you something. If you constantly behave like this, you will likely be poor. It's not the prophecy of doom. Let me tell you why. Ask me how. Why? It means you value short-term gain over long-term relationships. Because anybody you do that to, the relationship will never be the same again. Never be the same again. Never be the same. I mean, there are people I borrowed 100K 10 years ago and didn't pay back and thought they were smart. Maybe the relationship would have paid them more now. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, even responsible people get into trouble. Financially, the economy can be hard. Unforeseen circumstances are the reality, the order of the day. But when you know you cannot pay, number one, the person must not be the first to call you. The person must not be the first to call you. Ask for a meeting. In fact, if possible, don't say it over the phone. Ask for a meeting. Be accountable. Open your books. Say, this is how we spent the money. This is what happened. I just want to renegotiate and say, please, can you give me this much more time unfailingly? Are you listening to me? And if the person is disappointed, they have the right to be. Don't gaslight the person and say, how much, self? How much, self? If it's that little, why did you borrow? Listen, I'm taking my time with this because you can be a churchgoer and still be wicked. In the Bible, I hope you know, the Bible says a wicked borrows and does not pay. And by the way, he said anybody that borrows and does not pay, collect his clothes. Collect his clothes. Which leads me to the next thing. If somebody is going through pain on account of something you borrowed, you must be willing to show how serious you are. Part way with some level of convenience. I'm not even joking. You might think this is extreme. If you need to sell a car for a while, sell it. Let the person know you're, or let it be the person to say, no, don't worry. You say you go just the flex and say, hey, what is it, Jeff? They arrest you now. Are you listening to me? Money, sex, lies. Three things I think you should just work on. Let me tell you something. Again, I'm very careful with my choice of words. If you've made mistakes in the past, from today, just adjust yourself, move on, do the right thing. Eh? And like I've said, I know what weakness is, I know what frailty is, but I know what lack, just outright lack of fear. You know, when you're doing things because you think you are God, you are beyond accountability. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Those of you who are trusting God for the blessing of God, let me say this to you in case no one has told you. I will very likely dwell on this fuller. In case no one has told you, with every blessing is a new layer of temptation. A new layer of temptation. And if you are not a person of consecration, the more money you have, the more you die. Please, make sure that the Lord shows you things to plug yourself into in terms of purpose. Poor people to help, kingdom projects to sponsor. Lest the same David who used to go to battle is now wealthy, prosperous, less busy, is in the balcony. There's enough time to notice who is bathing. I know what I'm saying. That's when you will know whether you were truly celibate or you were just broke. There's a difference. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Maybe, just maybe, you couldn't fund your temptations before. So there's a way you begin to move that it's just lack of fear. You are talking to 8 people at the same time. 8. Listen to me. Let me tell you why this is important. You see, in the time of Joseph, I know time is fast spent, but just listen. Are you learning anything? In the time of Joseph, the law wasn't even written yet. Joseph lived before Moses. But he constrained himself because of the goodness of God and the goodness of his master. He said, this man has been good to me. Put me over his house. How can I then do this wicked thing? So sometimes you need to ask yourself this. Will the one who heard my cry for a job and blessed me with a good job now regret? Say this with me. Say, God will not regret blessing me. Start putting, otherwise, the same mistakes your parents made. You know how being in a broken home affected you. Now, the devil is already laying the same track for you. Listen to me. We're not judging you. I've seen solid people, incredibly solid people, get distracted. Bring yourself back. Are you listening to me? Look at Psalm chapter 34, verse 11. I like this one for a reason. Psalm 34, verse 11. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It means you can learn it. Some of you didn't learn it by discipleship. You learned it by upbringing. But if you grew up in a house or in an environment that didn't really place premium on these things. You know, some of you grew up in houses where if you cheat in exams, your parents don't mind. They may even be angry if you didn't cheat. I know what I'm saying. Is it not some parents that organize special centers for their children? So that's their own parenting pattern. You're already teaching him what to do when he's an accountant, when he's managing other people's money, when you know. So he's saying he wants to teach you the fear of God. It means you can learn it. So, for instance, if you discover that you lie fluently, I know it's in how they talk. You lie fluently. Start practicing it. The practice. See, sometimes you need to go overboard to now be normal, to correct a deficiency. Sometimes you're talking to someone, you exaggerated. You call the person back. I said it was 50. It wasn't 50. Forgive me. It's 15. I hope you know I'm not joking. Just to start correcting yourself. See, I've seen honorable people lie over silly things. You know, I remember the first time I had the honor of meeting Reverend Sam Adeyemi, and he himself does not remember this. I was trying to remind him because we have a relationship now, a privileged relationship now, but he doesn't remember. So a man of God was trying to introduce me. And you know, the normal thing is to try to embellish the person's success so that the senior person will take them seriously. But here I am. The Lord had just led us to go to Abuja to start a work. And by the mercy of God, the work was picking up. We had 150 members in, I think, the first 4 months, and it was a big deal to me. Big deal to me. So now the pastor said, you don't know Emmanuel Iren? Somebody, they have a great church in Lagos. He went to Abuja, and in 4 months, there are 600. See, let me tell you something. I felt so afraid. I let God not say, eh. I felt so afraid. So, immediately we left. I said, sir, you said 600. We are not 600, though. We are not. Now, he said he didn't know, and I believe him. Or I choose to. Yes. But we were in a cinema. 600 people can't fit into a cinema. Don't put me in trouble. We are not 600. Hey. You know, and that's the thing, yeah? Especially when God is already promoting you. Why promote yourself? Why promote yourself? Why promote yourself? Why multiply numbers? If you prayed and rashes disappeared, don't say it's tumor. I know what I'm saying. It's like, are you listening to me? See, let me tell you something. Even in your personal life, resist the pressure to pretend you are richer than you are. Do you know that's part of integrity? Don't drive what is bigger than you. Who are you trying to impress? And see, you will be tested though, because you will get into spaces where even if you were not competitive, competitive people will tempt you. Have you seen people sharing their testimonies and you have felt the urge to share your own? Unsolicited, you will now start saying things they didn't ask you. If you're not careful, that's where lying comes. You start embellishing and exaggerating. For God's sake, allow people. Allow people. Look at that text. He says, let me teach you the fear of God. What does the next verse say? One of the first things to learn. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Now, any such person? What does he say next? Keep your tongue from evil. See, hold your mouth like this, please. Sorry, you. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Stop lying. Stop it. Please, you can put your hand down if you can see your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he said, you want to see good days. Stop it. Practice it. See, I'm not here pretending to be perfect, though. I'm just saying, as a child of God, you must at least take this thing seriously. And there must be a deliberate attempt to be as honest as possible. Are you listening to me? And people don't care as much as you think. In fact, what you think will impress people will only make them envious and make you a target. You only make yourself a target. Practice. Not just not telling lies, but living a life that does not imply that you are bigger than you are. Are you listening to me? And I don't know about you, I think it's a bigger flex that you had 1 billion and people didn't know. Because you are above the societal pressure to always update your car, to give people hints that something has changed. You know, I was reading about Warren Buffett. It was in a magazine his children knew that he was rich. It was in a magazine. So they saw a magazine, richest man in America. They saw him number 2. The children laughed.
They brought the magazine to daddy. They said you are the second richest man. He said, yes.
They didn't know. True life story. They did not know, because the same house he got married in, because it was comfortable, he didn't change it. He didn't change it. And this is how wealthy people create weak children. Because you've spoiled them. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he's not, I don't know if he's even born again. And that's part of what I'm saying. Why is it that some people who claim that Christ is their treasure, they are the ones, are you getting what I'm saying? What are you doing? You know, someone told a story about a man, true life story, who was bragging to his friend and said, I just rented this house in Ikoyi. You know, it's funny what people flex with. That's when, if you remain poor, there will be signs. I paid so and so million rent. So the person, thank God for your life. Little did he know, the person he was telling owns the place. Owns the place and did not tell him. I'm very happy for you that you are renting. I say your ceiling is someone else's floor. You know, calm down. Hallelujah. We are doers of the word. I'm not even here preaching at you. I myself, I want to hold myself accountable as much as possible. Let everyone hold it. Because another way to know that you are not really learning is when you hear something, you always want to look for who it applies to. You know, or something like that. But may the Lord inundate us with his fear. And we start bringing reverence back to the church. When you are in church, you will pray when it's time to pray. Keep your phone aside. Focus. Start deliberately. I said you can learn the fear of God with your lips, with your money. You can learn the fear of God. You can learn it. Practice it. In your personal devotion, in the way you deal with people, treat people like you know God is a lifter. That this person you're looking down on, tomorrow, I've seen things. Don't think that because in class they told you have a bright future. I've seen things. Do you know why secondary school students will beat their juniors? It's because you are underestimating tomorrow. The same way some people succeed in life and go back to school to honor some teachers. There are some, it's the opposite. In fact, there's a man I just want to go and greet. Nah, I've thought about it, but I won't do it. Because when I was carrying my Bible and praying, he mocked me. He did. I wanted to tell him something, But if I said it, I won't have graduated. My paper go miss. I wanted to say, is a crazy person like me that employed you? How are you in a faith-based school and you're mocking someone for praying? Rise to your feet, oh. Let me tell you something. I don't know if God can do this, but can I tell you what I want? Let me tell you my dream. I want it to become common knowledge that when you employ members of Celebration Church, there is a certain level of excellence and integrity you can expect. Certain level. Let me tell you something. I can stand here confidently and tell you I'm not eating your money. As your pastor, I have an allowance. I hope you don't mind that one. Because this generation is crazy. I mean, I don't... I can tell you before God, I'm not eating your money. What God will not give me, may I never have. May I never have. I will not look for help any other way. I will never have another rock. I will never consider another God. If God will not heal me, I will die sick. Are you listening to me? If God won't bless me, I will die poor. And I will do it with joy. And I won't even revile him for not blessing me. He himself is the treasure. I want... just a fantasy, you. Because, you know, I heard a pastor talk about that. And if it's true, I think it's very commendable. That the government reached out to them and said, I've heard good reports about people in your church. Volunteer 20 people. Let's put... You know, if they do that, una go former. I know you will not. Yeah, I mean, I'm too sure. But I'm just taking the training seriously, the curriculum seriously. Come on, are you listening to me? And not just in church, even when you are alone, you have the opportunity. Ah, God is a lifter. Don't cut corners for an extra 500,000. Don't. 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 God bless his soul. And listen, even if he doesn't, we are not careful to answer you. Oh, King, we're not careful. I want to give you a few minutes to talk to the Lord. Lord, you know the Bible says a good name is better than silver and gold. In a world where many are selling their soul, Father, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. 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 Don't assume you know. Cry out to him. Oh. Don't say you are strong. You just may not have been tested. Don't mock people who fail. Learn your lessons. Call out to the Lord for help. I need your 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 help. When sinners entice me, I will not consent. and I will not be the one enticing. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.